We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
The WEEI Sports Radio Network. You're locked in to the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
My neck of the woods. Let's go to Mark in Beverly. What's up, Mark?
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Good.
I'm sitting out here in nice, beautiful downtown Beverly. It's sunny, probably 70, 75. It's all absolutely gorgeous. But anyway, let me tell you something. Mookie Betts is on par with Babe Ruth.
Okay, Mark. Oh, that's too good. He's trying to stick up for the North Shore, man. And then we got Mark in Beverly calling up, comparing Mookie Betts to Babe Ruth.
Sick weather report, though. I like it.
Yeah, it's good. Now when I get back to Peabody this afternoon, or this evening, I should say, I don't know what the weather's like. 75, 70 degrees over there in Beverly, talking some Mookie Betts, Babe Ruth. It's a good debate when you go out to your local watering hole tonight, or if you want to watch the Red Sox game out somewhere, if you're going to watch the Florida and Miami game, maybe that's a good idea. Watch the Florida and Miami game at the same time as you watch the Red Sox and the Padres. Have yourself a couple of adult beverages and enjoy the game. And you can thank Mark for the weather report and watch Mookie tonight. See if he reminds you of Babe Ruth at all. Let's get to James. He's in Norwich. What's up, James?
Yeah, how you doing, Brian?
Good.
Yeah. First, I want to talk about Dave Dombrowski.
Yep.
Yeah, they need to get rid of him. And that being said, they need to be trading Mookie Betts also. So they're not going to want to keep Dave Dombrowski if they're going to be trading Mookie Betts because he's not going to be around.
Well, and yeah, here's the other thing, James, to your point real quickly, like the Dombrowski thing, you got to rip off the Band-Aid or extend him. Now, I'm with you. He's going to go. That would be my guess, and that's what I think they should do, is they should get rid of Dave Dombrowski. But you can't just, like, bring Dave Dombrowski back for the final year in his contract, because then he would have no incentive to trade Mookie Betts, right? Because he would be, for lack of a better term, GMing for his job. So if he trades Mookie, it's going to make, in all likelihood, the team worse in the 2020 season, but it could help for the future of the organization with some younger pitchers and whatnot. But that would just be not Dombrowski's incentive with the team going into next year if he doesn't have an extension.
Correct. Now seeing that Mookie Betts is at its high because he's equal to Babe Ruth, we should be able to get tons of A-plus talent for him. But if we, you know, but the thing is, he's worth more in a trade than he is us giving him the money to stay here, because we got people with the offense, and his defense isn't as good as what people think it is. You know,
James, it's a good point. I agree with you, because what you're thinking about is, all right, you're going to get some sort of haul back where you're going to get 4 to 5 players for Mookie Betts, right? And if two of the three work out in a starting rotation and maybe get an outfielder for down the road or a relief pitcher down the road. So you're using your money more wisely than putting it into Mookie Betts, who he's a really good leadoff hitter. Mookie Betts is a really good player, but he's not worth spending $350, $400 million, $320 million, whatever the case may be. Your best use of Mookie Betts at this point, based on the way that things have transpired this year, is you using him as a trade chip. It would be one thing if you had faith in Sale and Price and Eovaldi going forward, and you were going to have this dominant starting rotation. Okay, then maybe you can justify signing Mookie Betts. But with the way the organization is right now, it's good timing that this offseason you can move Mookie.
Right, and what they need is they need an ace. All right, they need a legitimate ace, not someone who just calls himself an ace. Now they need a legitimate ace and an A plus. Either an infielder or an outfielder, either one. But at least two of them, plus, you know, two or three, ones that might pan out. You know what I mean?
Yeah, fair enough. I appreciate the phone call, James. You can grab his line if you'd like. It's 617-779-7937. The other thing that I entertain with the Mookie Betts conversation Do you really think the public relations standpoint from that would be that bad in this town? Because that's one of the things I hear in terms of, oh, the Red Sox won't trade Mookie Betts for the PR, for the backlash from the PR, like how the fan base would react. Well, I feel like the fan base in this town now is intelligent enough to realize why the Sox would have to move on for Mookie Betts if, in this offseason, they decide to make that move to trade Mookie Betts and get a haul back for him in terms of prospects and maybe some guys that are already in the major leagues. I feel like right now we're equipped to handle why the Sox would do that. Don't you think like the fan base would be okay with the move? Would there be really be this outrage from the fan base if you trade away Mookie Betts? I feel like, okay, if you traded Devers right now, who's a 22-year-old kid who's blossoming in front of our eyes, like that would be a massive mistake, right? Like, and everybody would go nuts. But as it pertains to Mookie Betts, you're looking at the situation objectively here. Look at Mookie Betts right now. Mookie Betts is somebody that we know wants to enter free agency. He said he wants to enter free agency. He's going to wait until he goes to free agency. So if you're a fan of the Red Sox, can't you understand the position that the team has been put in by Mookie Betts? Essentially, what Mookie Betts is saying is, I want to test the market when I become a free agent in 2 years. And Mookie has backtracked and essentially said, not backtracked, but he had to defend himself by, there's the perception that Mookie doesn't want to be here. Mookie doesn't want that perception to be out there. But what he said is, me testing free agency doesn't essentially mean I don't want to be a member of the Red Sox. And he has said on multiple occasions, he likes being in Boston, it's his second home, blah, 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 blah. But can't the fan base understand? I would assume that the fan base at this point can understand if Mookie Betts going into next offseason, say the Red Sox, now, quite frankly, I've told you, I would not give Mookie Betts a contract extension. I don't think he's going to age well. He's 26 right now. His game is based on his athleticism. It's based on his speed. Even as if you look at his approach at the plate, it's all based on his hands, right? How quick his hands are. So, and the other thing with Mookie Betts is he has no power to the opposite field. Rarely does he hit a home run to the opposite field. For example, Rafael Devers this year, at the age of 22, he already has 10 of his home runs to the opposite field. Mookie Betts rarely hits a home run to the opposite field. So just from a baseball perspective, I don't look at Mookie Betts as a player that's going to age well because of the fact he's small, he's diminutive in stature, he's 5'10", he's about 180 pounds, has no power to the opposite way. So I just look at the player and I don't feel like he's going to age well. So from my perspective, I would not want to give Mookie Betts a contract extension to begin with because I would look at it from a business perspective. The best thing for my business is to get value for this asset, and I can sell him off as, oh, he's an MVP. He's a guy that's been an all-star multiple years in a row, right? That's how you could sell the player off and get a haul in return, and especially considering the way that this Red Sox team is currently constructed, you're going to need some upgrades in terms of the bullpen, the starting rotation, et cetera. And Mookie Betts is one of the tools that could help you get to that level. So from my perspective, I would trade him to begin with. But say the Red Sox, for this hypothetical, go to Mookie Betts this offseason and say, hey, let's discuss a contract extension. And they offer Mookie Betts something. Or maybe even Mookie Betts says before they even try to offer him something, nah, I'm going to wait till free agency. So at that particular point in time, Mookie says, nah, I'm gone. Essentially, that's what he's saying. Or if they do come to the negotiating table and the Red Sox give him an offer that they think is fair and Mookie says no, then don't you think the fan base would understand if the Sox wanted to move on from Mookie Betts? Like, I feel like part of the reason that the Red Sox are cautious or they're reserved in their approach with Mookie Betts is they're afraid of the backlash it would create with the fan base. I don't really see that being the case whatsoever. I feel like this fan base is intelligent enough to realize that if the Sox have to trade Mookie Betts, it's in the best interest of the organization. They're not just moving the player to move the player. They will be moving the player because the player isn't going to be, at least in their mind, isn't going to be here long term. So it's better to get something for the future, right? It's better than Mookie Betts after the 2020 season, after you sign him up for arbitration again, give him $30 million, whatever the case may be, then he gets up and leaves after the season, and all you get back in return is a compensatory pick. Do you really want to live the life that the Washington Nationals are living? Like, the Nationals thought, oh yeah, we're going to be in the hunt for Bryce Harper again when he goes to free agency. Like, how dumb was that? You had to have known that Bryce Harper was going to get to free agency. He was going to leave. So unless you're willing to offer him the most possible money on the market, if you're the Nationals, why the hell wouldn't you trade him last year, right? Do you want to live in the same realm that the Washington Nationals are living in? Because they could have gotten something for Bryce Harper last year if they decided to trade him, right? He's considered to be this superstar player, although I've said for multiple years in a row, the guy's one of the more overrated players in the history of the sport. I mean, look at the numbers. He's fine. He's a good player, but he's not one of the... People are comparing him to Mike Mike Trout. Remember that at the beginning of his career? It's Mike Trout or Bryce Harper. So really? Mike Trout does the same damn thing every year. He puts up numbers. Bryce Harper up and down. It's like a seesaw with that guy. So when I just look at even the Manny Machado trade, the Orioles got some pretty good prospects back for Manny Machado, and they did that in the middle of the season, really not even the middle of the season, at the trading deadline. If they had opened up conversations about Manny Machado the following or the prior offseason, they would have gotten a lot more back for Manny Machado because the team would have said, oh, you know what we're going to get in this deal? We're going to get Manny Machado for a playoff run. So from the Red Sox perspective, I don't think that the fan base would be so enraged, that the fan base would be so upset if the team decided to move on from Mookie Betts this offseason. It would be one thing if Mookie Betts was like, hey, I want to sign here long term and the Red Sox won't give me the deal. Like, that would be one thing, but we're not even at that place because Mookie Betts doesn't want to sit down at the negotiating table to begin with. And the other thing I would say is it almost feels like this organization is just so scarred from the John Lester thing. Remember, that was their defense of the Chris Sale thing. John Henry referenced the fact that they didn't want to botch this like they botched the Chris Sale situation. They were so scarred by that that they felt that they had to keep Chris Sale here with the Red Sox because they got so much bad publicity from the John Lester thing. And the realization on that is the John Lester thing was just dumb. You offered the guy 4 years and $70 million, right? You offered him a $70 million contract. And Homer Bailey, the guy that looks like Christian Bale pitched for the Reds for a while, that dude got more money than you were offering John Lester, who just came off an unbelievable postseason run where he posted an ERA under 130 and he gave you 34 and a third innings. Right. So that's why everybody was upset with the John Lester thing. It's like this guy's an elite pitcher right now and you're only offering him $70 million. OK, so it's almost like now the Red Sox overreact to everything when it comes to their own players because they're afraid of the backlash for the fan base. No, get over it. You guys made one stupid mistake. It happens. It happens. Was it a dumb mistake? Yeah, it was incredibly dumb the way they handled the John Lester thing. But you don't have to make up with it with all these different other contracts. Like, we can understand as a fan base what's going on from an organizational perspective that if Mookie Betts, first of all, doesn't want to come to the negotiating table, and then if he does, he's asking for an astronomical number like $350 million, the fans can understand that the best thing for the organization is to trade him somewhere else and bring in some players that can help keep this Red Sox team afloat in the coming years to keep them as a contender. Fans will understand that. 617-779-7937, the number. Brian Barrett with you right here on WEI. Let's get to Gene in Rochester, New York. What's up, Gene?
Oh, hey, Brian. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. I'm going to change the subject a little bit. I mean, sure. My take on the Sox, I'm kind of sick and tired of hearing about them. I mean, my point of demarcation, I'm going to wait till the end of this road trip. I still have a little bit of hope, but we'll see. I mean, just the fan in me, I guess. But I'm going to talk a little bit about the
like
Pats.
Like the loyalty.
Loyalty. The Pats, a lot of talk about they have, you know, they're playing in the weakest division and so forth. And I really hate that argument. I don't know how you feel about that, but to me, the analogy is like a bully shows up in a neighborhood and just kind of controls the neighborhood, and nobody can really kick him out. I think the Pats have really created this infrastructure, if that makes any sense, with where it's just hard to knock him off the top. So it just makes the other teams have to work harder to try to get there, to try to beat him, and it's just hard to do that. And so what ends up happening is everybody thinks that they're in the weakest division. Do you know what, you know where I'm coming from? Does that make sense to you?
I understand what you're saying, but I mean, look, we do have to acknowledge, you know, I understand your point that people like Tom Brady and Bill Belichick are the reason that some of those teams suck, but we also have to acknowledge the ineptitude of some of those organizations. Like Stephen Ross, he fires GMs and coaches for sport. Woody Johnson has been
I think a lot of that is caused because of what Belichick and Brady, I guess what comes first, chicken or the egg? That's how you want to.
Yeah, that's a fair point. And look, Gene, I appreciate the phone call. You can grab his line if you'd like at 617-779-7937. I get what Gene is saying to a certain extent, where there are certain people, certain members of the media that basically say, oh, some of the Patriots' success is because the division has been so bad. And look, the division sucks. I mean, you can basically say before the season that the Patriots are going to win it each and every year. Even a team like the Eagles right now, who I would argue has the best roster in the NFL, the Philadelphia Eagles, you can't say like going into the season, yeah, the Eagles definitely won in that division. Because at least the Cowboys are good, and not to defend Jerry Jones, but at least that's a loaded team, right? So the Patriots, for so many years, they've been in the situation with the AFC East where the division is just so damn bad. It's atrocious. And if you look at it, Stephen Ross has been a horrible owner. They can't figure out the head coaching situation. Good luck to Brian Flores down there. And the other thing is this with Miami, they can't find a quarterback. Ryan Tannehill, they drafted him in the top 15. I believe he was the 11th overall selection. He didn't work out. The same thing has been going on with Buffalo, New York. Their issues are they continue to fire and rehire coaches, and they continue to draft quarterbacks, and they don't work out. Now, both those teams now think they have their guy. Darnold in New York with the Jets and Josh Allen with the Buffalo Bills. This is what I would say to that. The first thing is with Sam Darnold, I really like the player. I think he's good. Now, I understand his rookie numbers were not great. But if you look at Sam Darnold down the stretch of the season, started to play a lot better. And I saw signs of a guy that, all right, he's got the talent to be a franchise caliber quarterback. But I also look at the Jets and say, think about who's running that organization. Think about what the Jets just did. They had a GM in Mike Maccagnan that played a role in hiring the head coach, Adam Gase. So then Adam Gase takes the job. And then Mike Maccagnan signed C.J. Mosley and Le'Veon Bell to big-time contracts. Apparently, Adam Gase didn't want those players. Then the ownership group decided to fire Mike Maccagnan, and now Adam Gase is coaching a bunch of guys that apparently he didn't want to coach. And he had to defend that on, basically, in a media scrum, if you will, where he said, oh, I wanted these guys, but apparently the thing is that he didn't want those guys. So it's just a weird situation, not to mention the fact that Adam Gase doesn't sleep. See, the other day he had, smelling salts, like he's a coach, apparently only sleeps 2 hours a night. There was a write-up about 2 weeks ago about Adam Gase when his wife was pregnant. This is when he was the coordinator of the Denver Broncos. She had to have a C-section, and she asked him, hey, do you want to cut the umbilical cord? He says, no, I got to go to work. He left to go to work, and he asked them at the hospital to move it up so he can meet with Peyton Manning. That's the type of guy Adam Gase is. You're sleeping 2 hours a night, I'm sorry. You're not going to last. And I love when people put that out there. Like, remember Sean McVay? That was a story before the Super Bowl. Oh, yeah, he barely sleeps. Great. Congratulations, guys. You don't sleep. Still get your ass kicked by Bill Belichick. Let's get to Betty in Oakland. What's up, Betty?
Hi. I totally agree with you about Mookie. And, you know, I said at the beginning of the year they should have traded him. You know,
oh, you would have traded him before this year.
Back for him.
Yeah, I think that would have been tough to do. At that point, Betty, where you're coming off a World Series and Mookie was the MVP, and you thought coming into this season you had a real opportunity to win another World Series, I couldn't see trading him then.
Well, you know what? I don't think he's done that well. You know, I didn't think that he would do that well, and he could be replaced. And I think what you can get back in trade is much more than what you're getting at the present time or even last year. You know, he had a great year, but, you know, J.D. had a great year, too.
Yeah, it's a fair point.
Mookie didn't do anything the year before.
He did not have a great, I mean, he was okay, but he did not, you're right, he didn't have a great 2017, had obviously the MVP season last year. 2016, he was really good. It's been like 1 year is great, 1 year is down, but I understand your point overall. Appreciate the phone call, Betty. You can grab her line if you'd like it at 617-779-7937. With Mookie Betts, I believe this is closer to who he is this season. He's about a 285 hitter. He's going to have a good on-base percentage, maybe around 380, whatever the case may be. And he'll have basically an OPS a little bit under 900. So that's a really good player. That's a really good leadoff hitter. But it's not the player he was a season ago. Him hitting 346, and look, not many people could duplicate that again. But Mookie Betts is not going to be the same player he was last year, where he had a 1078 OPS, and he ended up with, like, whatever it was, a 438 batting average. He's not going to a 346 batting average and a 438 on base percentage. That's not who Mookie Betts is. Mookie Betts, look at the history of his career. 1 year, he's had an OPS over 900, and it was last year. He's more like a 285 guy with a 380 on base percentage, which is really, really good. And he'll have an OPS around like 890. But he's never going to be a guy that's got a 1078 OPS again and an on base percentage over 430. And he's hitting 346. That's not who he is. He had 1 year that was absolutely outstanding. He's a really good player. But in my mind, he's not worth $300 million, $350 million. Just not worth it. His biggest benefit, or the biggest thing you can get from Mookie Betts from this organization, is to trade him and get some starting pitchers, because clearly, that's the biggest issue for the Red Sox going forward. That's the way I see it. How do you feel comfortable about anybody in this rotation, with the exception of Erod, going forward? Sale is injured again. You don't know what he's going to look like next year. David Price is aging. He's injured again. Now, I understand he threw a bullpen, and he's going to be back this season, you would think. But again, he's dealing with an injury. Nathan Eovaldi has never been a consistent pitcher, and quite frankly, he continues to deal with injuries. We'll see what he does tonight, but he has not been good. So you feel good about one member of your rotation, and it's not even like Erod's like a Justin Verlander type or anything along those lines, even like a Blake Snell in Tampa. He's not like one of these guys you're like, oh, yeah, you can build your rotation around Erod. No, he's pretty good. So Mookie Betts' best asset or best attribute to the team could be the value you can get back for him in terms of what you can get in the trading block. All right, a lot more to get into, including a big anniversary that we should be celebrating in Boston. I hope you celebrated on Thursday. I'll get to that in just a little bit. The number 617-779-7937. Brian Barrett with you on WEI.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This is the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Well, ever trading any player is really, you know, I've always said that you'd consider trading any player that you possibly have. I think when I was with Detroit and Miguel Cabrera was the MVP and you're in a position where he won the Triple Crown, I used to say, well, would you trade Miguel for Cabrera? I said, yeah, I'd trade Miguel Cabrera. If you get two Miguel Cabreras for one, you would do that. So it doesn't happen very often, but I think you have to be open-minded to it. So you say, do you ever think, could you ever do that on any player? That answer would be yes.
All right, that's Dave Dombrowski from July on with, I believe, Dale and Keefe. We need to keep Dave Dombrowski away from a microphone, man. And every time he talks, I'm like, what is he talking about? If you had one Miguel Cabrera and could trade for two Miguel Cabreras, you would do it. Yeah, no kidding. I don't even know what he means by that. But essentially he's saying every player is essentially tradable as it pertains to Mookie Betts. And, of course, that's what they were asking about is, would you trade Mookie Betts? And he's saying hypothetically yes, but I mean the situation that he painted there was just incredibly bizarre. I mean,
trade Miguel Cabrera. Yeah, I'd trade Miguel Cabrera. If you get two Miguel Cabreras for one, you
yeah, makes a lot of sense, Dave. By the way, remember he held a press conference at the trading deadline to announce they didn't make a move, and he actually became a storyline then. Think about that. He went out there to hold a press conference.
We do not have any announcements. We did not make any trades today.
They did that at the trading deadline. So he went out there to say that he didn't make a trade, and he actually messed things up even worse. Because remember what transpired from that is he said, hey, if we were closer to first place, we would have considered making a move. And that became a huge story in this town. And Dave Dombrowski did not look good for saying that, right? Hey, if we were closer to first place, we would have made a move. So he had a press conference to announce he didn't make a move, and he actually made it a bigger story than it needed to be. Brian Barrett with you for the next hour or so. 617-779-7937, the number. By the way, on the text line we get, I helped Kyrie Irving pack to get him out of town, and I would be more than happy to pack Mookie Betts when he leaves town. I'm wondering from the texture here, did he actually legitimately, or she, it could be a she, actually legitimately help Kyrie Irving pack? Or do you work for a moving service? What is the case? Let's get to Jim. He's in Melrose. What's going on, Jim?
Good show. Listen, let's cut to the chase. These players that say they stayed with the team because they, you know, let's take an example. Mookie Betts stays with the Red Sox because the team came up big and paid him $400 million or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. Well, the team isn't paying that money. The fans are. And that's why we have some of the highest, I think, or maybe the Yankees and us, ticket prices in the country. In every square foot of Fenway where you can put a sign, you've got a sign, including in the bathrooms. So, you know, they're committing the fans to pay this money, and that's why they've been lucky so far, because demand, you know, there's been enough of demand to fill those seats for the most part.
All right, so what's the point, Jim?
Well, my point is that I have no problem letting a Mookie go if they're going to sit. But when they make dumb deals like with Sale, and you mentioned
Eovaldi,
great guys, good guys.
Yeah.
But that just means we're paying for them, like Pablo Sandoval. We're paying their salaries when they're contributing nothing to the team. And I don't think that's the way you should run an organization.
Oh, I see your point. So, Jim, essentially what you're saying is, so because the Red Sox have such a rabid fan base, they have all this money that they're profiting off the fans, it irritates you that when the organization spends the money irresponsibly, so to speak.
Yeah, because we're funding that.
I understand where you're coming from.
And John Henry is saying we're not making any money. The team's not making any money. We lost, it affects our draft choices and all these other things. We've got some great players, some great talent that's come up that are huge, like Devers, huge value.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean they have to spend that. And so if I can go to a game and spend $50 for $65, $70 for a ticket instead of $100, I'd appreciate that. I really would. Yeah. And they're still going to make their profit.
Yeah, fair enough. Hey, Jim, I'm sure you can get a cheaper ticket now.
Oh, you think? except when Yaz comes into town.
Oh, yeah, yeah. When is he? Is he coming in a couple weeks now, right, with the Giants? Yeah, he's been tearing it up.
Yeah, I thought it was next week, but it might be.
Yeah, you may be right on that. I'll double check. I appreciate the phone call, Jim. Yeah, the Giants are going to come into town in a couple weeks. That's a kid that the Orioles gave up on. And Yaz has played really well since he went to the Giants. He had a 3-home-run game. He's been terrific. St. John's Prep kid. North Shore, another reference to the North Shore today on the show, although Mark and Beverly earlier compared Babe Ruth to Mookie Betts. That wasn't great for the North Shore, but yeah, certainly doing well for a North Shore school. The number 617-779-7937. So I understand the frustration there. It's like, all right, so you have this rabid fan base. You have this team that is passionate about the club, and you're spending money irresponsibly. That makes sense. I can understand where he's coming from with that. Now, I wouldn't go so far as to say, like, the fans are funding the team. Like, there's a reason that John Henry and the team have a lot of money. A lot of it does have to do with the fact that you have a rabid fan base. But I wouldn't really put this season in any way, shape, or form. Let me make this abundantly clear on John Henry. This season in particular is more on Dave Dombrowski. Now, if you want to put the future of the organization in terms of the Chris Sale contract on John Henry, he plays a pivotal role in that contract because, remember, he's the one that wanted Chris Sale back here. He made that abundantly clear. But in terms of this year, the aggravation that you have with the club does have to do with Dave Dombrowski and the moves that he made. The lack of any attention to detail when it comes to the bullpen, or the lack of a move whatsoever. You came into the season, you know, like the one guy the Red Sox added in their bullpen? Colton Brewer, okay? They added Colton Brewer. The Yankees go out there. They get themselves Adam Ottavino, a premier reliever from the Colorado Rockies last year. You know, the Red Sox get Colton Brewer, okay? Joe Kelly leaves. Craig Kimbrel leaves. Hey, don't worry. We got Colton Brewer coming in, baby. And then the thing that really aggravated me about Dave Dombrowski wasn't even the trading deadline in particular. It was the whole season. The bullpen was leaking oil all year. The bullpen sucked. And Dave Dombrowski did nothing. It wasn't like there's no rule that in the major league bylaws that says, hey, you have to wait until the deadline to get a reliever. There's no rule that says that. Like, you could have made a move before then. Instead, Dave Dombrowski waited until the deadline, and then he didn't make a move then. Okay, so really this year, I don't put much of the blame on John Henry. I put the blame on Dave Dombrowski and also the fact that, like, you didn't do anything at the deadline. You made no moves to help the team in terms of the bullpen. And then one of the starters you did sign, Nathan Eovaldi, has been a zero. And it's not like this is a second guess thing. This is a first guess thing. You saw the history of the player. Okay, he gets hurt every single year, or at least gets hurt a lot of years, and he has a career ERA of 4.26. So you should have known that this fall off was coming. Okay, and the other thing I would mention with the Red Sox, too, as we kind of look forward to 2020 with this team, because right now this team is dead. So when I look at 2020, another thing that I would consider, if I was whoever is running the Red Sox, we don't know who it's going to be, but whoever is running the Red Sox, one of the things that I would consider is I would put Michael Chavis on the trading block. Because here's the thing. Michael Chavis, who's working his way back from the injured list, Michael Chavis is somebody that as a rookie has 18 home runs, okay? Michael Chavis is somebody that was a highly touted prospect in the Red Sox organization. And when I look at Michael Chavis, first of all, from my perspective, I don't see a position for him. I don't see what position he plays. He's terrible at second base. He is not good defensively whatsoever. And at first base, he's not great either, not to mention he's a smaller target than the traditional first baseman, okay? And he's never playing third. You got one of the best five players in the sport already in Rafael Devers there, so he's never playing third base. So you have a surplus. So get rid of Michael Chavis. And again, think what you need. You need pitching. Get bullpen arms. See if you can get a young starting pitcher. I believe that Michael Chavis will fetch you something on the open market, because there's another team that says, oh, wow, Michael Chavis under club control for a number of years. He'll probably get over 20 home runs once he gets back to the Red Sox this year. Rookie, a little bit of pop in the bat. All right, let's take a chance on him. And that's another way that the Red Sox can replenish some of what they're missing in terms of a pitching staff, so to speak, where they have nothing. I'm not saying that you're going to get like a bona fide starting pitcher for Michael Chavis, but you could get something on the market. And quite frankly, I don't believe in the player. I don't believe in Michael Chavis. We've seen this year he's had peaks and valleys. And when you look at Michael Chavis, does anybody think he can hit a high fastball? And I'm not talking about a mediocre fastball. I'm not talking about something that's like 91 up in the zone. But when anybody touches 95 or plus on Michael Chavis, Michael Chavis can't hit it. So let's acknowledge the fact that Michael Chavis has a hole in his swing. He does. It's a reality of the situation. The guy has a hole in his swing. So what I would do is I would say, hey, Michael, appreciate the year you had. And you know what you get for a year is we can use you as a trading chip and send you off somewhere else, and we can get some pitching into our organization. So Michael Chavis is somebody that I would consider moving in the offseason. If it was my decision, I would move him. I'd see what's out there for Michael Chavis. And also the fact that, look, Sam Travis has played pretty well. Since he came back up from AAA, Sam Travis has played pretty well for the Red Sox, and he's had a weird career. Because remember, he was somebody that the Red Sox were high on years ago, and he got caught up in like the launch angle revolution and kind of messed up his swing, and now he's back to a more traditional swing. And Travis has played well since he's come up. I can't believe he doesn't wear batting gloves, though. That's a weird side note. But nonetheless, I don't know how guys in Major League Baseball don't wear batting gloves. But nonetheless, he's somebody that can play first base into the future. So I would use Michael Chavis. It feels like to me, my fear with Michael Chavis is if he comes back next year, I feel like he's going to be a little bit more exposed, so to speak. And we've already seen it at points this year. Remember, when he came up, he took off like crazy. He was hitting all these home runs left and right, and he was having a high level of success. But then he had this valley, and he got it together, we thought, a little bit. And it's been up and down, up and down, up and down. But I feel like even more so next year, like we've already seen the scouting report on Michael Chavis, is if you have anything over 95, just throw him a fastball up in the zone, he can't get to it. I feel like going into next year, he'll be exposed even more if you bring him back after a year almost of experience. So I would use him more so as a trade chip than anything else. Let's get to Tom. He's in Westfield. What's going on, Tom? Oh, we lost Tom. Number 617-779-7937 if you want to hop on board. By the way, I mentioned that there was an anniversary this week in the city, and I hope you guys all celebrated. Kyrie Irving. On Thursday was the 2-year anniversary of the Kyrie Irving trade. I hope everybody had a celebration, maybe a birthday cake, maybe it was ice cream cake. I don't know what your cake of choice is, but I hope you guys all celebrate. I'll get to that in a little bit. Looking back at that, did the Celtics actually lose the Kyrie Irving trade? We'll get into that. Plus, Team USA did not fare well, and the Celtics in particular did not play well today. They cost the Team USA their 78-game winning streak. The number is 617-779-7937. Brian Barrett with you right here on WEI.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
WEEI 93.7 FM.
This is our group. Let's go. I mean, that's it. I mean, this is... But, you know, we didn't make a trade on the trading deadline day last year. We did get Cashner already, so it's not like we haven't done something to help our ball club. And we brought Eovaldi back. We think he's just kind of rounding into shape now to be ready. I mean, I couldn't find anyone else throwing 101 that we think that... So we think he's a nice addition. We think we added Darwinson Hernandez here recently. So sometimes they come in different ways. And, it's a situation that if we can get in and, you know, play the one game playoff, I know, like, for example, Houston made big trades today. And they're really good. But they were good beforehand. If we play Houston, they will be in the playoffs, right? So we'll see what happens. But if we play up to our capabilities with our guys in our starting rotation, we can, I think, beat anybody.
I think he was spot on. Good call by Dave Dombrowski there. If you remember, they made a move. It was for Andrew Cashner. Now, here's the thing. Dave Dombrowski made a move for Andrew Kastner as a starting pitcher, and they took him out of the rotation. So I guess after all this, he did get a reliever at the deadline, because technically now Andrew Kastner is a reliever. He's spot on about Eovaldi, too. Don't have a lot of guys throwing 101 miles an hour, so he thought that Nathan Eovaldi was about to take off. He's been great in ERA north of 6 this year. He's been absolutely phenomenal. He had two good performances in the bullpen. They turn him to the rotation, gives up 5 earned runs against the Orioles. So Eovaldi's been great since he's come back. Eovaldi has really pitched well. He'll start tonight against the Padres. How bad would it be tonight if he gets lit up by the Padres? The Padres. By the way, this hour is brought to you by Audi Norwell. Audi Norwell, your exclusive Audi dealer on the South Shore. The number 617-779-7937. Brian Barrett taking you up until Red Sox pregame. Let's get to Jack. He's in a car. What's going on, Jack?
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Listen, I think Dombrowski is getting a bad rap here.
How so?
I think he had a magical year last year. I mean, bringing in Steve Pierce and Nathan Eovaldi.
Both those moves worked out, no doubt about that.
Yeah, and also, I mean, I didn't criticize him when they extended Sale. Sale was money. I mean, he's
When was Sale money?
Last year.
Yeah, before the shoulder injury, but then he had a shoulder injury in September. He threw for 12 innings.
Who was the pitcher that ended the World Series?
So because he had the strikeout against Manny Machado in the World
because
Series.
Because he's electric, because it's the high price of excellence. I have more problems with the high price of mediocrity, like Rusney Castillo, like Alan Craig, like Pablo Sandoval.
Okay, but nobody...
I mean, those were the worst signings that they've ever had.
Okay, yeah, those are some dumb deals. But
that regime, this guy brought a championship to Boston.
Nobody's disputing the fact that
people get hurt on him. But, you know, yeah, I mean, that happens. I don't know.
Jack, hold on a second. Let me ask you a question. So 2 years ago in September, Chris Sale had an ERA north of 370. This past season, Chris Sale threw 12 innings because of a shoulder issue. He made 2 starts in the postseason last year because he couldn't start because he was dealing with injuries. So doesn't that tell you that the history of the player, when he's in his 20s, he's going to be 30 when the contract gets underway next season? Don't you think that would tell you that he's probably going to be hurt in the future?
Did you object to the signing when it happened?
Yes. I said it was dumb. I said it was stupid. Well, maybe you weren't listening to my show that particular day, but yes, I said it. That was a dumb deal. It made no sense to me. Make him prove that he can pitch in September, then you give him the contract. I said it at the time. I guess we can go back to the film if we really want. I remember saying it at the time. It made no sense to me whatsoever. Now, I don't even put that one completely on Dave Dombrowski. I put that one on John Henry as well. But if you want to entertain the Dave Dombrowski conversation, the other thing you point to is Nathan Eovaldi. That wasn't a John Henry thing. That was a Dave Dombrowski thing. Okay, so here's the thing. It's like if you're playing craps or you're playing roulette, whatever the case may be, blackjack, right? You get hot at the table, right? You're red hot at the table. At some point, you got to know when to leave, right? And that was what happened with Nathan Eovaldi. You got the best out of Nathan Eovaldi. That's the best Nathan Eovaldi will ever pitch when he had a 161 ERA in the postseason. But here's the problem for Dave Dombrowski. He excluded in his logic, in his thinking, when he decided to give Nathan Eovaldi that contract, he took out the rest of his career. He said, oh, this is Nathan Eovaldi. That's the pitcher he signed to the contract. He didn't look at what Nathan Eovaldi had did throughout his major league career or did throughout his career up until that point. He had an ERA north of 420 for his career, not to mention the fact the guy is hurt all the time. He didn't take that into consideration. He just took 3 weeks during a World Series run into consideration. So Dave Dombrowski, I give him credit. The moves he made last year, they worked. Eovaldi worked. Steve Pierce worked. That all worked. But the problem was you had to realize that Nathan Eovaldi, for his career, has been an average pitcher. You got blinded by a run he had in the postseason last year, and you thought that that was going to be Nathan Eovaldi for the entirety of his career. And the reality of the situation is this. That is not who Nathan Eovaldi is. Let's get to Kevin. He's in Boston. What's up, Kevin?
I was just wondering, isn't a good problem to have that you can't hit a high fastball? Isn't that a good correctable problem?
How so?
I mean, it seems like the time, it's just like a timing issue. It's not anything else.
No, I don't think he has the bat speed to get there.
And you don't think it can be corrected as a young player?
No, I feel like he's got a hole in his swing. I mean, that's a massive hole in his swing. You seen him when he goes after high fastballs? He's got no chance.
Well, I think it's a I think it's a problem they could correct after the season. Hey, thanks for taking my call.
I appreciate it, Kevin. See, I don't think that Michael Chavis is going to get better hitting high fastballs. I understand other guys have done it throughout their major league career, but that seems like an issue that I don't think is going to be fixable. Not to mention, like, I'm not too high on the player. That's what I'm saying is I believe that the perception of Michael Chavis from other organizations is going to be, ooh, look, this is a rookie that hit 20 home runs, because I assume when he comes back, he's going to get over 20. He's at 18 right now. So I think that what other teams are going to look at is they're going to say, oh, this is a young player. And the Red Sox are giving him up because they have Devers, they have Bogarts, and they have all this power in their lineup already that they don't need another power hitter. What they need right now is pitching. So it's not like they're selling him off as some guy that they don't believe in. They're selling him off because they're desperate for pitching. So I believe you could get something of value back for Michael Chavis. And quite frankly, from my perspective, I don't believe in the player. Quite frankly, I don't know where he plays in the field either. I just don't get it. So that's why I say this offseason, I would put Michael Chavis on the market and see what you can get in return for the player. Not to mention the fact, remember, this is a guy that came back from PED suspension as well. Let's get to Paul. He's in Westfield. What's up, Paul?
Hey.
Paul, what's up?
Hey, good evening. How are you?
Good, man. How are you? Long time no talk.
Yes, sir. Please, on Devers with that problem with the fastballs, because we can get a fortune for him. However, he's so young, I think Mookie might be a better
alternative. You mean, Paul, you mean Chavis? You mean Chavis?
Yes, sir. Eamon was going crazy. You can't get rid of Chavis. And, Bri, you're a professor, as usual. You pick
no,
up
I was saying Devers, Paul.
Correct. On Devers, he has that problem with the fastballs you mentioned. So
no, Chavis does, not Devers. Yeah, I get your point. You want to get rid of Chavis like I do? Yeah, I'm with you on that, but not Devers. I mean, come on. Devers is one of the best players in the sport.
Correct. And the ability to correct that problem, which you bring up, will make him all that better. This is the problem. I don't think it was intentional. It was just what you call bad timing, the way that Eovaldi, Price. Now, I don't see Sale possibly coming back because they knew his style blew up his body. They missed out on that. Please tell me all that money we have tied into four pitchers that all went cliff diving in 1 year. Is all that money on the back end that's not real money?
No, all that money's real. David Price got 3 more years. He added left at about $32 million. Eovaldi's got 3 more years at $17 million per season. And Chris Sale, his extension doesn't start until next season when he's going to get 5 years for $145 million, so $30 million per season.
5 years? Are you kidding me? What kind of what? How could you even think of going that far? So yeah, we got a major problem here.
Yeah,
no pitching staff. So we got to get. Can we get two rookie ace pitchers? Is there any such thing as that for a Mookie?
Well, that's the hope, Paul. And I appreciate the phone call. You can grab his line at 617-779-7937. Okay, let me make this point clear. I'm saying Michael Chavis can't hit high fastballs. I'm saying that what I would do in the offseason, if I'm whoever is running the Red Sox organization, I would put Michael Chavis on the trading block and see what I can get back for him. I'm not saying Rafael Devers. I don't know. Paul may have got that confused. I would never trade Devers.
Paul called in saying that we could get a ton for Mookie or Devers, and I flipped out saying, Devers, are you effing kidding me? No way.
Right. I mean, it is true. You could, but why would you ever trade Devers, right? That's like the player you would want. He's one of the best players in the sport at this particular point in time. And, oh, yeah, he's 22. Devers is a freak show. That's like not human what Devers is doing this year. The fact that at 22, and if you look, I don't want to get too baseball nerdy on you, but if you look at his spray chart, he literally has 10 home runs to the opposite field. He is perfect for Fenway Park. So what I was saying, and I never said Devers, I said Chavis. I would put Chavis on the trading block and see what you can get back, because I think another team would bite and say, oh yeah, look at Michael Chavis, a rookie that actually played well, and the Red Sox have a lot of hitters in their lineup. They have a lot of good position players. What they need is pitching. All right, I'll take a shot on Michael Chavis. So that's why I would put Chavis up there. And I, quite frankly, do not like the player in terms of I don't think he's going to be good for this organization long term. That's just my belief in the player. And then with Mookie Betts, of course. Mookie Betts, you need to trade this particular offseason. And I believe the Red Sox are coming around to that idea. I really think that the Red Sox realize that they're not going to be able to go into next offseason, after this year, I'm saying, and say, all right, let's see if we can keep Mookie Betts, and Mookie Betts going to go to the highest bidder. Because I think from a business perspective, and that's what the Red Sox are at the end of this, yes, they're a professional team, but at the end of all this, what they are is they're a business. So from a business standpoint, the best decision for this organization would be to use Mookie Betts to help your pitching staff long term. Also considering the fact that Mookie Betts wants to get to free agency. So from a business perspective, what's better? Let him go to free agency, risk the chance and the likelihood, because all these guys that go to free agency leave, risk the likelihood that he could go join another team, try to get him, or use Mookie Betts in the offseason to try to fetch some pitchers and some young position players, whatever the case may be, to help your organization long term. So I just think it would be complete malpractice from the general manager, the president of baseball operations, whoever gets that next title in the future. Maybe it is Dave Dombrowski. I don't think it will be, and I don't think, quite frankly, it should be. But nonetheless, whoever that is, it would be malpractice if they don't trade Mookie Betts this particular offseason. All right, a lot more to get into, including Kyrie Irving. The anniversary, two-year anniversary of his trade was this week. Did the Celtics actually lose a trade? Danny Ainge, I thought he never loses trades. Did he actually lose a trade? We'll get into that. Brian Barrett with you right here on WEI.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.